Let us turn again to the part of God's word that we read together in the book of Psalms. And we shall read from Psalm 23 from the beginning. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here's a beautiful psalm before us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by David, a psalm of David, a psalm that no doubt millions have found comfort in. David's views of the Lord and his grace were written by him long ago. And even before that, the principles of this psalm comforted God's people long before David lived. And these truths will continue to uphold and refresh God's people till the end of time. They will still be singing, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord will still lead them beside the still waters. This psalm celebrates the peace and the rest and the provision that the Lord gives to his people as their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And we will consider, first of all, with the Lord's help, the person who is the shepherd, and then the provision of the shepherd. So that David says, I shall not want, because God provides. And thirdly, the peace of the shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The person, the provision, and the peace and the rest. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. The question for you and me is, can we say that? Is he your shepherd? Is he my shepherd? So first of all, the person who is the shepherd, the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord, David says, is my shepherd. I shall not want. David wrote this psalm. He was a shepherd before he was king. How fit, how qualified he was to write such a psalm. He, from experience, knew how a good shepherd takes care of his sheep. And he saw clearly that God is to his people all that a shepherd is to his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we need to remember that as we sing this psalm, that the word Lord is actually the name Jehovah, as it is here in the prose version of the psalm. The Lord is, the word is in all capital letters, which means that it is the name Jehovah. So as we sing this psalm together, we need to remember that Jehovah is my shepherd, David says. It is not only the Lord as his master, but the Lord who is Jehovah. He, Jehovah, is my shepherd. He who is the great I am is my shepherd. He who is self-existent, having all life in himself and all being, the fountain of all being, is David's shepherd. He who is unchangeable and always eternally the same, he who is independent, he who is self-sufficient, he who freely makes a covenant with his people out of his mere good pleasure and is faithful to keep covenant and mercy, he is the shepherd. The Lord, Jehovah, I am that I am, is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, this, of course, is an endearing title, shepherd. The Lord is condescending to call himself a shepherd. This title is one of the most precious and endearing titles. There are some titles of God that evoke awe and even trembling. God is the King, He is the Captain, He is the Lawgiver, He is the Judge, which inspire reverence in the heart of God's people and terror to the enemy. But there are other titles which draw out the heart of believers in love to Him. He is the husband of His people. He is the father of His children. He is the shepherd of Israel. And He lovingly leads His flock. Are you not drawn to Him, child of God, the shepherd and bishop of your soul? Will you not follow Him, the good shepherd, your shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yes, David says, the Lord is a shepherd, He is my shepherd. And he was personally looking to the Lord, to Jehovah, as his shepherd, as sheep look to the shepherd. God was David's God, and David was one of his people. God was David's shepherd, and David was one of his sheep. And we know that Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. And he it is who says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. So do we know him? Do we follow him? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd of the sheep. Paul in Hebrews chapter 13 calls him the great shepherd of the sheep. And his blood was shed for the salvation of the sheep. So as a shepherd protects the sheep, as a shepherd defends his sheep from the wolves, from the predators, the Lord Jesus Christ protects his people. David, of course, was an experienced shepherd. And you remember how he was ready to slay the giant. He was ready. Why? Because he knew that God had helped him in the past. He had saved the sheep from the lion and the bear. And we read that he was explaining how he had rescued the lamb from the lion's mouth. But then when the lion came and tried to attack him, that is when he grabbed him by the beard or the mane and struck him and killed him. And so David was, of course, strong, courageous, even heroic. And so is Christ, infinitely above David, as the shepherd of his people who rescues his own lambs. Christ delivers his little lambs from Satan. He himself suffered from the enemy, from Satan. And that is how he delivers his people from the one who has the power of death. We read that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Through death and through suffering the assaults of the enemy, he experienced the same sufferings of his people, that is, when they suffer temptations or the assaults of the enemy. And so Jesus, having passed through similar afflictions and much more keenly felt than any of us have done, he is all the more inclined to help his dear lambs, rescuing them from the mouth of the devouring lion. He will rescue his people from the temptations that they endure from the enemy. And he will, of course, save all of his people. His name was called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He rescues them from sin. He rescues them from Satan. He rescues them from the wrath of God, which they deserve. And it was God in his love who sent Jesus to suffer and die for them. When we speak of Jesus turning away the wrath of God, we must always remember it was God the Father who sent him to do that. So that Christ is the shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he says. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. In one of Spurgeon's collection of quotations by other writers, he quotes someone as saying that he had heard from other shepherds how much they would defend the sheep against wild beasts and robbers as well. And one was fighting off three bandits or robbers and actually succumbed to them and was killed by them, illustrating how courageous the shepherds were to defend the flock of sheep from others that would assault. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the thief comes to kill, to steal, to destroy, but he is the one who gives his life for the sheep. I am come, he says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. How we need to look to the shepherd. Are you looking to Christ, the one who lays down his life for the sheep, who died for sinners? Who did he die for? Well, we know he died for the elect, but another view of it is considering that his elect are sinners in themselves. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And every one of us by nature are ungodly, and how we need to look to Christ, the Savior of sinners, who died for the ungodly. And if you look to him, if you believe in him, if you're resting on him alone for salvation, you will know, you will come to know, at one point or another, you will know that he died for you. Look to the shepherd. Well, the shepherd guides his flock. And that's what shepherds do. They lead. They walk through the meadow. They walk through the wilderness, leading the sheep to better feeding places. And so the Lord leads his people as a shepherd. He leads them to feed in the plentiful pastures of his word. He leads them out to feed, and he brings them back into the enclosure for safety. I think that's what the Lord means in John chapter 10, verse 9. He says, I am the door. By me, or through me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. He shall go into the safety of the flock. He will go out to find pasture for feeding. So that is the Lord who protects his people. He protects them. He defends them. He saves them. He leads them. He guides them. He provides for them. And that's what we consider secondly. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Which brings before us the fact that Christ feeds his people. He provides for them. So the person of the shepherd, the provision of the shepherd. I shall not want. It doesn't mean that we will never, ever desire anything. But it does mean that we will not lack anything. We may desire things we don't need. We may even desire things that we shouldn't have. But if we have the shepherd, we have all. And surely that should more than satisfy us. Perhaps there is an allusion to Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. You have lacked nothing. You have wanted nothing. You have lacked nothing. Well, David knew the scriptures, and he would have reflected upon precious portions like that. The children of Israel wandering through the desert for 40 years, they didn't lack anything. Their shoes were still holding up, and their clothes were not torn, and God provided manna for them. They weren't going on in poverty. God was providing for them. Thou hast lacked nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I shall not stand in need. I shall not lack anything that is necessary. Economists speak about the law of insatiable wants. People are going to want more and more. Perhaps that's a different kind of want. Desire, desire, desire. But those who have the Lord as their shepherd, they shall not want. They will not be in any great need. They will feel their needs, but they have all their needs met in the Lord Himself. They will have all their true wants supplied. And if we're looking to the shepherd, we will not be demanding. We will be asking patiently. Yes, asking God to come quickly because we desire Him. And when we know that the Lord is our shepherd, when we have His promises, then we will be satisfied. I shall not want. If we have the Lord, we have His word, we have His promises. And what does He promise His people? Paul says, "My God," and he is looking to God as his shepherd, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There are riches in heaven. And yes, you need many things. And yes, we are a needy people if we're God's people. There's no question about that. We need many things. We need grace, we need strength, we need feeding. But the point is, it's all met in the shepherd. And we have the promise of God's own word through the Apostle Paul, "My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There's nothing missing in glory. Everything is there. It's all in God Himself, and it's through Christ Jesus. It's through the shepherd. It's in fellowship with Christ, the Son of God. If we're relying upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the guarantee of His word that all our needs, everything we stand in need of, will all be supplied. "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" All things. I shall not want. David does not say whether these are temporal provisions that he speaks of or spiritual things. No distinction is made here. And as one of the commentators puts it very eloquently, no distinction needs to be made by us either, because God will provide all that we need. Jesus says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things." And He was speaking of temporal things. And if we need it, the Lord will give it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And He will give us all the spiritual provision that we need and all the temporal things that we need, as long as they are needful. We will not lack any good thing. Well, the Lord will provide. And He will also provide peace and rest. In the third place, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." The following verses of the psalm, including verse 2, are illustrating the fact that the Lord is the shepherd of his people. These following verses, at least to verse 5, is explaining how the shepherd takes care of his sheep. And here in verse 2, we are seeing how the shepherd leads his sheep to peace and rest. And what better picture than green pastures to convey the idea of peace, and the still waters to bring before us the idea of composure and calm. Now, the idea is probably not that the shepherd is leading the sheep to pastures to feed, but green pastures for rest. We don't read that they are feeding, or that David is saying that God is making him to, or providing for him here, but he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. So what is brought before us is the fact that the shepherd gives peace, that he gives his people rest. And you'll see that in the margin, it is translated pastures of tender grass. Another commentator translates pastures of verdure, pastures of greenery. Well, think of of the desert region where some of the sheep might have been near to, and perhaps a shepherd would have to lead the sheep through a rugged area where there's nothing but rocks and sand and not very many nutritious plants, and the flock is traveling onwards, and it's becoming warmer in the day, and finally they come to a quiet meadow. How the grass beneath their hoofs would be cool and refreshing to the sheep, and how soft the grass would feel beneath them. How refreshing, and to humans, how pleasing to the eye would the green grass be. Peter could recall how there in a lonely place, the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000 people on the green grass he made them to sit upon. And so the grass is pleasing to the eye, and it provides refreshing and soothing, and which is an illustration of the refreshing, soothing peace that the Lord Jesus gives. And he leads us to the promises, and the promises convey peace. And perhaps there is very much the same as when we read in the Song of Solomon that the church is asking, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon." It's the heat of the day. It's when the flocks need to rest, and the shepherd leads them to green pastures. He makes them to lie down. There's repose. There's rest. And the Lord Jesus gives his people rest. That rest is from himself. The Lord provides this rest. The Lord gives them peace. The grass would be a sight to sore eyes, and so it is. Christ, in his grace, is lovely and precious to the eyes of the believer. Pray for a view of Christ, and pray for that peace that he gives. It's the same with the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And the idea is probably not that the waters are not moving at all, not absolutely still. It was probably the idea maybe a running water, which would be highly valued, not a stagnant pool. Perhaps the gently flowing waters of a brook nearby. The margin has it, waters of quietness. And the idea is that probably the place near the waters was a resting place, which is how the word can be translated, even waters of resting places. So this is what the sheep needed. They needed rest. This is what the Lord's people need. They need rest in Christ. This is what they desire. And this is what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, gives. And Someone points out that the word quiet or still, waters of quietness, is not only absence of movement, but being in a settled place with overtones of finality or victory or salvation. So again, it's probably the idea that after a journey, after a time of hardship, the sheep come to rest. And the Lord's people know what that is like when they've gone through some difficult experiences, outwardly or inwardly. There's trials in their soul and temptations, and they can't understand why they're going through this difficulty or that in their own souls, struggling with unbelief or with Satan's temptations or the old man which seems to rise up in vigor against them. And then the Lord brings them to a point of rest, to an oasis. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The stream is running through where the flock comes to rest. And Jesus himself is the water of life. He is the resting place of his people. And that is where we will find rest. That is where we will find grace as well. Spurgeon points out that this, at least in his mind, brings before us the graces of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is symbolized by living water. And the Lord Jesus gives that peace, which is the fruit of the Spirit. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Friends, remember that David was not always at rest in his soul. There are other psalms that bring before us David's distress. David was sometimes in great concern because of his enemies, but he knew where to go. And he saw and believed, especially perhaps reflecting upon the past, that it is the Lord who leads the sheep, the Lord who brings his people to rest. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And so we need to remember that. It is the Lord who does this. Without him we can do nothing. We may even wonder, why do I not feel peace even when I'm praying and I'm struggling? But it is the Lord who speaks peace to the soul. He maketh me to lie down. He causeth me to lie down in green pastures. But just as clearly as it is the case that the Lord gives it, so he is willing to give it, and we're to look to him for it and not question his willingness. He is the shepherd, and we are to look to him for that rest and lean upon the Beloved and keep waiting upon him that he would lead us, continue to lead us, till we get through the wilderness, as it were, even here on earth, a wilderness experience, tumultuous and hard. But he brings us through it, and he brings us to rest in himself again, so that he speaks to the troubled waters, peace, be still, and there will be a great calm. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The waters of quiet, the waters of rest, so that I have peace in my soul, the peace that passeth all understanding, keeping my heart through Christ Jesus. Well, this is the great privilege of every believer. Again, I have to ask, is the Lord Jesus your shepherd? David knew him. David said, "The Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd." Well, friend, you know that he is the shepherd. But can you say he is my shepherd? You know about the shepherd, but do you know the shepherd? I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. The sheep know the shepherd. There's a story of an orator, and there's several versions of the story. The one that seems most suitable is this. The orator gave great speeches and recitals, and he always concluded by reciting Psalm 23. Well, one day another man was asked to recite the psalm with him. So first, the orator, and he quoted this psalm with great oratorical techniques, and the crowd cheered him afterwards. Well, then the other man spoke, who was an amateur, and he was an old man, and he recited the same psalm slowly, thoughtfully, and the crowd afterwards were silent, except that some were weeping. And afterwards, someone asked the orator, "Well, how do you explain this? The people cheered for you, but they're moved to tears by that other man." And the orator said, "You see, I know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." Do you and I know the shepherd? Do we know Christ? What does he mean to you and me? What think ye of Christ? Do you know him? Has he led you? Have you found him? Have you found green pastures and quiet waters through him? So that you have to say this, "I cannot really be at rest unless I'm looking to Christ." Don't reject the offer of the shepherd. "I am the door." He's calling you to come in. And do not say, "Well, I will put it off. I will think about it some other time." That's to say what is found in Isaiah 28, verse 12, where the prophets say, "This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Yet they would not hear. They would have something else to satisfy them. This is the refreshing. This is the rest. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Look to him who died for sinners. Look to him to cover you with his righteousness. Look to him who was crucified on Calvary, who laid down his life for sinners, for the sheep, for poor lost sheep. Look to him who calls you, and pray to him, "O shepherd of Israel, lead me." Oh, that I might say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." May he bless his word. Let us pray. Mr. DeBoer, would you pray?
God of heaven, we thank you that we do not have to stop there. Indeed, you heard him, also known to us, the God in heaven, but the God on earth, even leading the people on this very earth. Still even storms to make the waters quiet. Lord, as they remember them, the course, they're just troubled. Pray for our congregation, maybe share of all of them that they know the shepherd. Pray to bless thy word.
We shall conclude singing to God's praise from Psalm 23. Psalm 23, from the beginning: "The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, even for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear none ill. For thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. Psalm 23, from the beginning, to God's praise. The Lord's my shepherd. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.